This is Educated and Empowered.
Hey guys, Tenille Jackson here, coming with the first edition of your stroke tips, your mental health awareness tips. I told you all that May is both stroke and mental health awareness month. And so every Monday this month, I am going to come to you live with some quick tips, things that will help you to increase in your knowledge, increase in your awareness, so that if you or someone you know may be dealing with any of these issues, that these are some things that you will be able to use to help you overcome or help you to prevent or cope with both stroke and mental health issues. And so, again, I am your national award-winning author and filmmaker, and I want for you, if you're not already following me on social media, you can go to either Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, Clubhouse, YouTube, as well as Wisdom, and find and follow me at My Name is Tenille. And so, again, for those of you who may not know, the reason why both stroke and mental health awareness, why these issues are important to me, is because, number one, I am a stroke survivor. And then number two, when it comes to mental health, I say it all the time, my generation and older, so my generation on up, mental health awareness was not really something that was stressed, right? Like, we didn't talk about self-care when I was coming up, the way that it is promoted and encouraged nowadays. In fact, it was almost taboo to say if you were stressed or depressed, or anything like that, because it was taken as a sign of weakness. And as a result, so not only have I survived stroke, but I also survived depression. I do have a severe stress. I was diagnosed with a severe stress disorder. However, I have learned to do what's necessary to keep my stress levels maintained, keep them under control. And so for me, you know, anything that I do in life, I believe that whatever we go through, we don't go through it just for ourselves. We don't go through it just for the sake of going through, but we always go through something so that we can help others. And so that's the reason why I do what I do. And so today, the first week, what I want to do is start off giving you, again, with stroke, we're going to be giving you stats and facts about stroke, right? So the first week, what I start off with, because again, I've been an advocate for stroke awareness probably for the last 6 years or so, 6 or 7 years, working with the American Stroke Association officially a couple years, but not consistently. But whether I definitively work with them or not, I always choose to use my platform to bring about this awareness of stroke, because I tell people all the time that, excuse me, whenever you overcome or survive anything, it really does change your life. It gives you to see things differently. You know, a lot of times we take life so seriously and we allow life to stress us out. But if you can get to a place where you understand that you should always have an attitude of gratitude, because every day is not promised. And not only is every day not promised, but as a stroke survivor, you learn that every second is not promised, right? Like, literally from second to second, your life could change. And so the first part that I want to talk about on today's podcast is the tips for stroke, right? And what we normally say in the stroke community is to think fast, F-A-S-T, right? So today I'm just going to talk about what FAST stands for, and then I'm going to give you 5 tips to try to stay healthy mentally, okay? So that's what we're doing today. So first, let's talk about stroke. And so again, what happens a lot of times with stroke, there are different types of stroke, and I'll talk about that next week, the different types of stroke, what causes stroke, all of that. But first, if you or someone you know has ever suffered with stroke, then you know that this is serious, and you can already identify and probably say what I'm about to say. And the unfortunate part is that many times we don't learn about whatever the condition is until after we or someone we know have suffered from it, right? Like typically when it comes to our health, whether physical or mental, when it comes to our health, we typically are reactive as opposed to proactive. And so one of the things that I have, you know, kind of taken for myself to do is to educate myself. And again, that's kind of my own slogan to say, my name is Tenille, and I educate and empower. So I educate others so that the hope is not just that you take this information and it's just idle information, but you are then empowered to take action, right? So that as we're disclosing different things throughout these weeks, if you are guilty of these things, like these are things you know you could be doing different or better, that you don't just take it in vain, but you actually take it and you allow it to resonate with you and move to action to do better. Because at the end of the day, we only get one life. And so moving forward and thinking fast, FAST. What FAST stands for, the F in FAST stands for face drooping. And so this acronym is going to help you if you are witnessing or if you are experiencing any of these symptoms, or if you witness any of these symptoms, this could be your red flag that something is going on, that it could be a sign of a stroke and you need to get checked out, or encourage whomever these symptoms may happen to, encourage them to get checked out. And so when we talk about face drooping, what happens to those of us who have suffered stroke is that for whatever reason, one side of your face typically starts to droop, right? And so if you're talking and you feel your face starting to, and I don't know why I am putting my hands on my face as I do this, but typically whenever I am speaking about the FAST acronym, is normally visual, and I like to kind of show people what we mean by face drooping. But if you could, you know, if you're not driving and your hands are free, and if you put both hands, one hand on either side of your cheek, and you know, just shift the hand so that one hand goes up and one hand goes down while you're rubbing it against your cheek, so that now one cheek is up higher and one cheek is down lower. That is what naturally happens to someone who is experiencing stroke. Your face just kind of goes crooked, or it just becomes, I don't know if the word is uneven, but it's just totally, you lose all of muscle control in one side of your face. So basically it makes your face droop. And the truth of the matter is that those muscles don't always come back. So that when, you know, a lot of times when people listen to me, so if it's just an audible podcast, very rarely can people hear my slur. I still have a slur, which I'll get to a little bit later. But most times if people are listening to me, they cannot tell that I had a stroke. But there are times when people watch me, and I've had people hit me in the inbox to ask me, did you have a stroke, or, you know, something to that effect, because there is still partial, though it may be slight, there's still a partial face drooping, so that when I talk, It is definitely, for me especially, is noticeable. Like when I first started doing live broadcasts across social media, Facebook specifically, Facebook back when there was a Periscope, it was very hard for me from a emotional standpoint. It was hard because I was in my head, right? Because I saw myself on camera and I saw my mouth, you know, that it wasn't, I saw that it was still crooked, and I saw how it would, basically I could see myself when I was talking, and I knew that for me, I knew what I looked like prior to having a stroke, or more than one, but prior to suffering a stroke, I know that my face didn't do what my face does now. And it's just something that I've been left with. It's been 10 years since my last stroke, but I still go through this. I still have the issues, you know, with the face. I still have slurring sometimes of my speech, and it's just, but at the end of the day, when you look at the alternative, the fact that she could have been dead, the fact that I could still be trying to recover. There are a lot of people I know that are still going through physical therapy, still trying to learn to walk again. And so, you know, I say I will take the side effects that stroke left me with. I'll take it gladly, you know, gracefully, gratefully. And thanking God, you know, that I had a chance to bounce back. But the F stands for face drooping. The A stands for arms, right? So, and honestly, could be your arms or your legs, but for the sake of the acronym, they use the A for arms. So whether it's your arms or your legs, you begin to experience tingliness or numbness. So if for whatever reason, so like, you know how when you kind of fall asleep or you lay down wrong and your arm or your leg falls asleep and then you start getting the feeling back in it. So it's very similar to that. So it's like, but the thing about it is this tingliness will just happen out of nowhere. It's not because you laid wrong, slept wrong. Like literally when it's happened to me, this is some of the ways I lost the activities of my legs, you know, like literally the first time I had a stroke, I was walking 1 second and I can't even say 1 minute, literally from second to second, 1 second I was walking, next second I was on the ground. Because it just like, I felt the tingliness, but I didn't know what it was. And so for me, when I've experienced stroke, and again, I've also had multiple mini strokes or TIAs. When you experience that, that's kind of one of the first things for me that I noticed was the tingliness, you know, where my legs, they would just go all types of, and it would make it where either I didn't walk or I felt nervous about walking because I didn't want to just fall. And it would always just pop back in my head the last time that happened. And so if you or someone you know experiences the tingliness, the numbness in your arms or your legs, then that could be a sign of stroke. Okay. The S stands for speech. So if your speech either begins to slur or you start talking slowly, you know, so like, in other words, normally if you're a person that speaks quickly, people always say that I talk fast. And but when you're experiencing a stroke, like literally everything slows down because the brain activity in your head is going on pause. Like literally that's what's happening. There's oxygen that's not flowing. And so, you know, you need oxygen, you know, you need oxygen to breathe, but your oxygen, you need it because those brain signals, you know, so your brain should be sending signals to say, hey, talk, breathe, move, walk. And so when your brain isn't receiving that oxygen, if you're not getting those signals, then what's happening is what's supposed to happen won't happen. And so when you're experiencing stroke, your speech slurs or it slows. So because, again, it's a result of what's going on in your brain, and it's just translating through you vocally or verbally, right? So you're talking, and then next thing you know, your speech just starts to slur. And so if that happens, then it's possible that you are experiencing stroke. See, a lot of times the misconception is that, oh, well, I'm going to faint, pass out. You know, people will say, oh, I'll know if I'm having a stroke. That's not always true, especially if you don't know the signs to look for. How could you know? You know, when I had my first stroke, I was 24 years old. How or why would I think that, being that young, you know? And again, I've shared my story and I've said how I was very ignorant, meaning just didn't know anything. I mean, I was a college graduate, but still very ignorant to health issues, thinking that because I was young, that automatically meant young and healthy were synonymous. And I soon learned that they were not, you know. And so that's the point that I want for you all to know, to be on the lookout, face drooping, arm tingly or numbness. And again, it could be the legs too. Speech slowing or slurring. And when the F, A, and S, it don't have to be all of them. If one or any of those things happen, then it is, you need to activate the T. T is time to call for, whether it's 911 or the ambulance, whatever. It's time to go to the hospital, right? If you listen to one of my other podcasts, I shared my story about being a stroke survivor. I shared my story about the first time that I had a stroke and how I had experienced all of these things. I had the face drooping, the arm tingliness, the speech slur. I experienced all of that. But because I was not educated, because I did not understand what stroke was, I wanted to ignore it. And had it not been for my husband, who, even though he was trying to get me to go to the hospital, I didn't listen to him. So he then called my dad. So between him and my dad, you know, I was being sarcastic and allowing myself to go because they were getting on my nerve. Or at least that's what I said. Oh my God, for y'all to leave me alone, just take me to the hospital. And it saved my life, because literally as we're going to the hospital, you know, he's like, well, let me get your wheelchair. And I'm like, I'm fine. You know, I'm fine. And as we're walking from the parking lot to the hospital, literally 1 second we're walking, the next second I am on the ground. Everything stopped working. You know, I immediately went into the whole thing again. My speech was slurring. I couldn't move. My face was paralyzed in one, like, for, it was a while. My face just was stuck, you know. And everybody, the paramedics, EMT, whoever, they came and they put me on the stretcher and hurried me into the hospital, whatever. But just think if in my stubbornness, in my pride, in my ignorance, had I not allowed myself to be taken to the hospital, because with that trip to the hospital, I was in the hospital for a week. They thought initially that I had MS, because when they were doing, it went from CAT scan to all these different MRIs, and the images was giving them to believe that it was multiple sclerosis, but that came out, you know, not to be the case. But the point just is that, imagine had I not gone to the hospital and I just stayed home. And so when the symptoms came back and hit harder the second time around than the first time around, if I would not have been right at the hospital, what would have happened? I may not be sitting here now. And so that's why I say, just, we need to get to a place where we can put pride to the side, put stubbornness to the side. The whole, well, I don't really take care of myself, needs to go out the door. Because at the end of the day, if you don't take the time to take care of you, you may not be around to take care of anybody else. So that's the first part. I just want to really quickly give you guys the FAST acronym. Face drooping, arm tingling, tinglingness and numbness, speech slurring. It's time to call 911. So if you see whether it's happening to you or someone you know, or someone you don't know, you just happen to be out on the street and you see this happening, then have enough compassion, have enough heart to get your cell phone, because we all got cell phones, and call 911. If you see these symptoms, be sure that you call 911. If you're just tuning in, I'm giving tips for stroke and mental health today in an effort. Every May, for the last few years, I have advocated consciously. I'm a stroke advocate because I'm a stroke survivor. So I always, every May, I do various podcasts, broadcasts, use my platform in whatever way to bring about awareness for stroke. And the last couple years, I've been talking about mental health, as I also survived depression as well as stress. And so this May, what I've said is that every Monday, I'm going to come on and provide for you all some tips, some facts and stats about stroke and different mental health issues. Now, understand, there are a lot of mental health issues, mental health disorders, mental health problems, a lot of them. But the two that I focus on primarily are depression and stress, because those are the two that I personally experienced and have had to deal with like a great majority of my life. And so with the mental health, I just want to quickly share 5 ways to stay mentally healthy. And again, keep in mind, there are more than 5 ways, but because this is a podcast, we are not going to go and give you every way for every disorder or every issue. But here's just a place to start. And again, maybe it's not you who has mental health issues, because I've said before, if you are my age, I'm in my 40s. So if you are my age or older, talking about mental health was taboo. We didn't grow up with it being encouraged to talk about mental health, much less admitting that some type of mental health issue was plaguing you. Because in my generation, my parents, grandmothers, grandparents, so on and so forth, in our generation, it was really perceived that you were weak, something was wrong, and you did not want to be connected to those issues. But I am so grateful that we now live in a generation where people are encouraged to say, I am not okay. Because again, keep in mind, it's not encouraged everywhere. There are still some families who take it as signs of weaknesses. There are still some institutions, and in many cases, it's churches. Not all churches, but in many churches, it is still taboo to talk about mental health issues. And so, whereas no, it may not be regulated, it may not be the norm everywhere, but generically speaking, it is becoming more acceptable for people to say, I am not okay. And for it to be okay to say, I'm not okay, we have to normalize it. And in order for it to be an us that normalizes. That means that each person, everybody has to volunteer to say, I'm going to be part of the solution and not the problem. The problem is when we have to act like something we're not. The problem is when we feel like we're going to be criticized or talked about or judged or condemned because we are not okay. And there are so many different ways of not being okay, right? All of them may not just, it might not be deep. It might not be diagnosable. But there are some days you just wake up and guess what? You don't feel like yourself. You don't feel like being bothered. You don't feel like being Superman or Superwoman. You don't feel like being a hero. You don't feel like cooking dinner, going to the grocery store, going to work. You don't feel like picking up the kids, doing homework. You don't feel like cleaning the house, cooking. You just don't feel like it. And guess what? That's okay. What happens when you start suppressing those feelings, when you try to act like you are always okay, whether you know it or not, you're actually setting yourself up for failure, if no other place than mentally, because there is a such thing as being overwhelmed, overloaded, under pressure, under the gun. It is a real thing to be stressed out. And again, the fact of me being a stroke survivor, where I'm trying to bring this to you with stress is that doctors, and I'm from Chicago. I've been to my fair share of hospitals throughout Chicago because nobody could understand how could someone so young have a stroke, and not just one, but multiple. What's going on? So doctors from multiple hospitals that talked to each other, they all agreed that stress was the underlying cause of the strokes that I had. So when you think that people are just being funny when they say stress can kill you, let me tell you, as one who has survived stroke, as one who has a diagnosed severe stress disorder, let me tell you that stress literally can kill you. So if you are not okay, stop acting like you are okay, because it will just be a matter of time before you are not okay. Okay? I'm trying to be as real as I can, because I can't tell you how many people I have seen fall to depression, fall to the various stress disorders, right? The ones that we know the most about is post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Like, we have to understand a disorder means that there is something that is out of order, something that is not right. It doesn't mean that you're, because we don't ever want to use the word crazy, right? Because we say that I don't want to be, but crazy in and of itself is a little bit on the offensive side, right? When what we're really, the reason why we use these type of words are really because we don't know the right words to use. But the fact of the matter is that people typically are suffering from some disorder, meaning there is something out of order mentally. There is something, whether it is a chemical imbalance, whether it is, you know, regardless of what it is, these are disorders. There, and even when we talk about the word disease, it's a dis-ease, right? So we have to understand, like, if you see people who are not acting the way they normally, quote unquote, normally act, and instead of using normal, what we like to say is regularly, right? So what does a person regularly do? And so if they're not acting the way that they regularly act, if they're getting short with you a little bit more, if they're, you know, they're snapping every time you turn around, it's a chance that the person is stressed out, because those are some of the signs of stress, you know. And so you have to be able to know what to look for. Next week, I think that's what I'll do, is I'll talk about the signs of stress and depression. And maybe I should have did one show where I did all signs, but that ain't what I did. So So first I did the signs of stroke, the four signs to look out for. And next week I'll do the signs of stress and depression. But what I want to talk about today are just five ways to stay mentally healthy. So the first one is to exercise, right? Now understand that when we say exercise, this isn't about losing weight, right? Like this is just about helping to get your mind cleared. A lot of times, you know, you can just go for a walk. It doesn't have to be a power walk. You don't got to have on your waist trainers or some aluminum foil or whatever it is to help make you sweat, plastic wrap. We're not talking about walking for a marathon. Just walk. Because when you're out, when you give yourself just 20 to 30 minutes to just walk, clear your mind. So that means don't come on the walk. You can't bring your phone. You can't bring your PDA. I don't even know if they still do PDAs. I'm dating myself, right? But no phones, no PDAs. You're not doing any working. You're just coming out of the house. And that might even mean no children or no significant others. Anything and anybody that will normally cause you to stress, leave it and them at home or where they are. Take yourself some time and you just want to start walking. You're not thinking about anything. Just allow your mind to be clear as you're walking. That's it. Just allow your mind to be clear. Just, you know, a lot of times when I would walk, now I'm a believer and y'all know that. So I'm normally talking to God. I'm normally, you know, asking God to help me with whatever it is that's on my mind. Take it off of my plate. Take it out of my spirit. You know, just take it away from me. Or, you know, if it's something I have to deal with, show me how to deal with it. Give me the wisdom to deal with it. Don't allow it to stress me out, you know. And so either I'm praying, talking to God, or I'm just thinking about things that don't really matter. Just something that's not about the deadlines, not about, you know, all of the things that's stressing me out. So find fun things to think about and give yourself about, you know, 20 to 30 minutes to do it. And again, this is really just about making sure that you are maintaining a healthy mindset, trying to help you to reduce your stress, your anxiety, if you're worried about things. And then it's also said that exercising, it helps to improve if you are in a negative mood, if you're suffering with depression, it helps to improve your self-esteem as well as your cognitive function. So do understand that when we're talking about exercising, specifically walking isn't just about losing weight, right? So we want to make sure that we are keeping our minds healthy just like we keep our bodies healthy. Another way that you can stay mentally healthy is to journal. Now, not for nothing, but you know, she is a national and international award-winning author. So there is something to be said about writing. And understand, when we talk about journal, we don't mean that you got to get what you write and publish. Just write down how you feel, whether it's positive or negative. If you're angry, write down why you're angry. If you're sad, write down why you're sad, why you're lonely, why you're whatever you may be feeling that's not a quote-unquote happy mood. Write down what's causing you to feel those things. And at the end of the day, what happens is you're getting it out of your system. Again, we have to learn how to stop suppressing our negative moods. Stop feeling like if you ignore it, it will just go away. It will not. What's going to happen is it's going to keep on building up and building up. And then the next thing you know, you will explode. You do not want that. So you want to find healthy ways to release the negativity that's inside. Because if you don't find a way to release it, again, it will continue to grow. And before you know it, you will, whether it's depression or disorders, there is something negative that is going to result from that. So when you journal, that's going to help you with those negative feelings that you may be experiencing. Number three, And again, these are in no particular orders. I'm just giving y'all my five. So find some hobbies. Find some things that you like to do. And let me tell you, as a businesswoman, an entrepreneur, I wear a lot of hats, you all. I wear a lot of hats, and I wear them all actively. So for me, it's not either or. I am both and, okay? And. I am not only a wife, but I'm a mother of four daughters. Biologically, I help raise a lot more, but I gave birth to four daughters, and they are ranging from 14 to 20. So I have an eighth grader in my household who's about to be graduating, as well as a senior in high school that's about to be graduating. So in 1 year, I have two graduates, and these are all girls. So can I just tell y'all, I need everybody to be praying for me, because these are so many different personalities all at the same time that you're dealing with, and you're trying to make sure that everybody feels special, and they're all overachievers like their mother. So everybody's life is booked and busy, and so I have to be booked as even more booked and busy than them, because they expect for me to do everything that they're doing, plus I still have to find a way to do everything that I'm doing. So I'm that, and I'm a First Lady of Church, and I have several organizations that I'm the founder of, and I'm an author and a filmmaker who's actively working on my next project, and a coach and a speaker. So I mean, those are just some of the main capacities in which I serve. Point that I'm making and saying all of this is that I know a thing or two about needing to be able to find time for you again, because when you are booked and busy, and you don't have to have as many ands as I have, because can I tell you, any of those things are their own whole jobs. If you are a significant other or a spouse specifically, then your spouse is always going to be some type of job. And that doesn't mean that they're a bad partner, a incapable partner. It just means being a spouse is a whole job. And then if you are a parent, whether you're a spouse or not, being a parent of one child is a whole job. So heaven forbid if you are the parent of multiple children and a spouse. Okay, so y'all get where I'm going with this. It is so easy to lose track of yourself, lose track of the things that you like to do, that you want to do. Many of us forget who we were before we had children, before we were married. And so sometimes you can get caught up in that lifestyle, right? And then if you work in a job or you're building your business, you're always going with that. And so burnout can become a real thing. So you have to make a conscious effort to stay balanced. And how do we do that? Find a hobby. What's the thing that you like to do? Doesn't have to be what everybody like. Don't nobody have to agree with your hobby. You know, for me, I love word games. I love puzzles. But I also like to play cards or dominoes. I used to, before my back injuries, I would play volleyball and softball, but I love to go walk and I like to swim. Find things that you like to do that doesn't necessarily need a second or third person. Why do I say that? Because everybody may not be available when you're ready to do whatever it is that you like to do. So find something that just you can do by yourself. If you like to go shopping, if you like to go to the movies, like find some things that you like to do. And again, if you are over the age of 35, I'm sure you had a hobby. You had a hobby. You watched TV. It was a favorite show that you like. You love listening to music or going dancing or whatever it may be. So get you something that you like to do. And this website that I am on, which is believinginspired.org, it says that research shows that people with hobbies are less likely to suffer from stress. Low mood, and depression. So this is real. When I'm telling y'all that this is real, because again, because I am someone who dealt with depression for a long time, It resulted in me being clinically depressed and having to be diagnosed with different medications to be able to overcome it. I was very dark for a long time in my life, off and on for probably about a decade. I dealt with depression. And again, one of the reasons why I think that I dealt with it as long as I did is because I was dealing with it alone. Because again, I go back to the fact that not being okay was not okay when I was coming up. It was not encouraged to tell people you were not okay. So I suffered alone. I suffered in silence. You know, yes, I've not always been a first lady. In the time of my life when I was dealing with depression, I was not a first lady. I was not married to a pastor. But I went through a lot of things and I was still going to church. However, you didn't tell people at church that you were suffering, because then your belief in God would come into question, because people don't understand how can you be depressed but then say you love God. And you just don't want to go through all of that. You don't want to go through being condemned. And so at one point I stopped going to church regularly because I just wasn't feeling it. And I'm just being 100% honest to you all, like, it was very difficult. But that's the reason why now I am such a strong advocate about being as transparent as possible about my darkness, because I know what it feels like. And again, so much of what I went through, I went through it alone. And I think that going through it alone made it so much worse. And so I encourage you all, if ever you are feeling not like yourself, talk to somebody. And it doesn't have to be a therapist or a psychiatrist or anything like that. Find somebody that serves as your confidant, whether it's a pastor, a parent, your best friend, a coworker, like somebody that you can talk to, that you know you can trust, that you don't have to worry about hearing it back, saying something about it. Like, find that person, because they exist, okay? And many times, I know for me, being able to talk things out, that really helped. And that actually goes to number four with five ways to stay mentally healthy, is ask for help, right? So a lot of times we don't want to ask for help, especially if you have titles, right? And I don't just mean first lady, pastor, CEO. I mean even mom, dad, daughter, wife. Like, when people look to you, a lot of times in our minds it's inconceivable to have to ask for help, because we are always the person that people are asking for help. So how does the person who gets asked for help become the person to ask for help? You know how? Help, you say the word. Everybody should have a mutual support system, meaning that you don't just exist to be everything for everybody, but you should also have some bodies that you can go to be there for you. And so be willing to ask for help, whether it's short-term help. So maybe, your kids are driving you crazy and you just need a night to yourself. If you have a friend, a family member who you trust, who can come and babysit, whether they come to your house and you get to leave or you drop them off and you get to just take a nice long bath with nobody calling your name, do that. Don't feel like that you're weak if you have to do that. If your work is overloading and overwhelming you, whether it's schoolwork or homework, and if you just can't make the deadline, talk to your boss, talk to your teacher. Sir, ma'am, look, it ain't happening. I'm about to lose my mind literally. And if I don't take a break, I'm going to explode. So I know that it's due and I'm going to get it to you. It just won't be tomorrow. Take you a day. You know, like even at school now, like grammar schools and high schools, they have it where the students are allowed mental health days. Why? Because this is real. And people understand that at every age group, every age level, people can become overwhelmed and they need to take some time. So understand that you are people. That includes you. So if you're working and if you have a job with mental health days, they're not just doing it and saying it can sound cute. Take one of them. Ask for the help that you need. Let somebody know what you need and understand it doesn't make you less than, it doesn't make you incompetent, incapable. It just means that you are human. And just like everybody else, you need help. Now, the last one that I'm going to go over today is what they call mindfulness exercises. So let's talk about meditation. Let's talk about yoga, right? Like, again, just like we talked about the regular exercise where you can walk, but you want to make sure that you are doing, specifically with yoga and meditation, things that are going to help you to calm down, help you to breathe, help you to relax. Because as you relax, as you're breathing, it's going to help you to relieve stress. It's going to help you to get rid of or eliminate those negative feelings that you may be having. And so I hope that these tips have been able to help you all. So again, the 5 ways to stay mentally healthy that I shared today is walk at least 20 to 30 minutes a day. Make sure that you journal. Find a hobby that you like. Ask for help. And then do mindfulness exercises such as yoga and meditation. And I promise you, because all of these are things that I do. I'm always journaling. Y'all know that. I have hobbies that I've been doing. Definitely been asking for help a lot more lately in the last like 3 to 5 years. And then meditating is something that I do on a daily basis, sometimes more than once a day. It is so necessary to keep your mind clear. And I will say this, for people who suffer with depression or who are susceptible from suffering with depression, understand that the same way that alcohol is to an alcoholic, what alcohol is to an alcoholic, negativity is to someone who deals with depression. If you suffer from depression, do yourself a favor and avoid negativity at all costs, whether it's from yourself or from others. We cannot be around negativity long without starting to feel as though we're going down a slippery slope, okay? So you want to make sure, like if you've ever noticed, I was okay, but then here come nagging Nancy, and after she got finished nagging, even though maybe she wasn't nagging me, but just hearing her constantly nagging, somehow now I feel a little bit worse. That's because you don't have the capacity for negativity. If you're around, you know, negative Nehemiah, and all he's doing is constantly talking about everything that can go wrong with the world. Woe is me, po is me. Why is this doing like this? And why is this got to be like that? And why did this have to happen to me today? And then next thing you know, you're feeling a whole lot heavier. Now you're feeling sad, or you're feeling, you know, angry or anxious or stressed. It's because if you deal with depression, if you are currently dealing with it or you ever have dealt with it, we have a very low tolerance level, a very small capacity for negativity without it overwhelming us. So the same way that an alcoholic can't be around alcohol, somebody that's dealing with depression, you cannot be around negativity. And so you need to know that and handle yourself accordingly, because I've had to tell people in my circle, look, if you're going to be negative, I can't be around you. Like, I'm not being funny, but I love me too much. And I don't have the capacity to handle your negativity. Like, I purposely put myself, I am consciously putting myself around things that make me laugh or smile every day. Every day, I have go-to shows that I watch on Netflix. I have certain comedians. Sinbad is personally one of my favorite comedians because I'm not really one that loves all of that profanity or whatever. But you watch a good Sinbad comedy, you're going to be laughing in no time. And you can't have both feelings at the same time. I can't be sad and glad at the same time. Can't be mad and happy at the same time. So I choose to be happy. I choose to be, you know, in a good place and space. So find you something, and that's free because this ain't even one of the five, but find things that keep you happy. So like if there are certain music that's going to keep you in a good space, listen to it. If it's a certain TV show, like I say, find something or somebody that you know you can depend on to keep you laughing. And if you find yourself starting to go down, then reach out and call that person. Reach out and watch that thing. Listen to that music. And if I can say this, don't be reactive with it. Like, just keep yourself in that good mood, right? Because sometimes if you wait until you on E, then you banking on the fact that that laugh is going to be enough to pull you up. But if you stay on full, then every time you know, you kind of lose a little bit, then just get something. So because then that way it's a little bit more you can stand before you have to be refilled, right? So make it a priority to take care of you and keep you in a good space. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Again, if we are not already connected, please do so. Find and follow me. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Clubhouse, and Wisdom, all at My Name is Tennille. And if you enjoyed this show, for a month of Mondays, because it is both stroke and mental health awareness month, every Monday I will be coming on live giving you all either some tips or some stats and facts about stroke, stress, and depression. Thank you all so much for tuning in. And until next time, you guys stay inspired.